Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries live worship experience. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gift will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Christ, I am Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen, man of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, alongside my husband, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen, who is our prelate over Kingdom Convergence as well as over this wonderful church, amen, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. We are looking forward. We just bless each and every one of you. We thank you for for joining us this morning. I'm already into the new. We just want to thank God for the new season, the new decade that is getting ready to complete, and a new one that we're getting ready to enter into. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Our Lord has been speaking to his people. Amen. He's been speaking to his prophets. And when I say that word prophets, not just the prophets that we know, but God has been speaking to his people that have an ear to hear, a heart to obey. Amen. You are your own prophet. Amen. Death and life is in the power of your own tongue. And whatever you speak, amen, you can either give life or death to. So I am grateful. So whatever the Lord is speaking unto his people, amen. The prophets, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, amen. Little old you and me, amen. Whoever and however, whoever wants to hear his voice, he is speaking. Whoever wants to obey what he has to say, he is speaking, amen. So make sure, family, that you don't get caught up, amen, in the cliches that are going on. Make sure you seek God for yourself in 2020. We have a few days left in 2019. I challenge everybody, amen, to really, really do some deep introspection. Begin to look over those prophecies. Begin to rehearse in your hearing what God has been speaking. Amen. Begin to look forward to what he has been saying and start looking for those things to manifest. Amen. We are here this morning and we're getting ready to circle around and connect with each other for prayer. Amen. The altar is open. Family, go ahead and connect your hands together. For those of you who are watching us, amen, connect your faith with ours. We're connecting with you. Amen. We're going to go before the throne of God this morning, and following that, the next voice you will hear after the announcements will be none other than our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again because you are God. We thank you once again. You still sit high and look low. We thank you that you are Alpha and Omega. God, we bless your name because there is no other God like our God, Jehovah. There is no one greater than our God. There's no one greater than the God of Israel, Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, all called upon you as their God. You are our God as well, Father, and we call upon upon your name today to worship. We call upon your name today to cry out to you. We want to say thank you for everything that you have done. We want to thank you that your hand is still sitting and controlling everything that is happening. We want to thank you, oh God, that you did not let the enemy consume us. We want to thank you, oh God, for the blessings. We want to thank you for your favor. Hallelujah. We want to thank you for the open doors in our lives. We want to thank you even for the closed doors, God. We want to thank you, Father, even as we have gone through tests and trials, we know that you still hear us when we pray. We know that you are our answering God. Father, in Jesus' name, as we connect in this place with your people and those that are even watching us, God, in these last few days of 2019, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would begin to solidify, that you would begin to speak again, allow those things that you have spoken over your people, whether through dreams or prophetic words, visions, insight, foresight, hindsight, through the word of God, however you chose to speak to your people, that you will begin to open up and bring back to our remembrance what it is that you have spoken. Oh God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would begin to rehearse once again in our hearing what thus saith the Lord. Sade kumbata shakota bahaya. In the powerful name of Jesus, anything, Father, that was not sent from you, we ask that you would reveal it right now. God, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, anything, Father, that is not sent from you, we cut it off. We burn it with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We cancel every word that was not sent from you in the powerful name of Jesus. And commanded to dry up at the root. Father, we also ask that you would begin to shine the light of the Holy Spirit upon all of our souls. Anything that we have not dealt with, anything you've been causing us and calling us to come to fruition, come to the forefront to confront, give us your strength now to do it, Lord. We want to leave everything at the altar before we cross over into a new season, into another decade. We want to leave everything. We don't want anything from the past dragging over into 2020. But this is a new thing that you are doing. No one has crossed over into this place before. We acknowledge it and we welcome it now. God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would begin to stir upon the inside of your people, that we would begin to hunger after you like never before. Not just for your hand and for what you can do, but just because you are God. We want to be those that are crying out in the wilderness. Open our eyes, oh Father. Those that are watchmen and watchwomen, begin to renew and revitalize our strength. Open up our eyes that we can see like never before. Give us your wisdom and your knowledge and understanding that we will know how to pray, how to speak and guide your people with no hidden agendas in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Father, we also ask those that are dealing with heavy hearts, we ask for your anointing of peace. We ask for your healing power, that you would begin to heal and restore, that you would begin to wrap your loving arms around them, keep them in the secret place. We bind up depression in the name of Jesus. We add and speak that they will continue to move forward in what you called them to do. As you're opening up new doors, as you're opening up new pathways, give us your wisdom. Give us strategies, oh Father, in this season, that we will not move to the left or the right without your words, without your direction and your guidance, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you for the word that's coming forth in this place. We thank you for the word that's going to be delivered. We ask in Jesus' name that you would anoint it and allow this word to find your people right where they may be, that you would allow this word, oh God, that you're going to would speak for pierce the dark places of men's hearts and minds, that you would begin to bring light into those dark places in the name of Jesus. We speak the blood of Jesus over each and every one that is here and each and every one that is watching. Cover your people from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. Release their angels, God, their warring angels and their ministering angels in this place over their lives in the powerful name of Jesus. Anoint our leader as he comes ministering the word. Give him the tongue of the learned. We thank you for what is to come, and we say yes and amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Give him glory, family. Give him glory for what the great things that our Lord and Savior has done. Amen. We give him praise. Once again, family, it is time for the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are looking forward, amen, for the word on this morning. As he's preparing to come, amen, I just want to let you know our announcements. Tuesday, not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, amen, please join us for our Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute, which is our Bible study night at 7 p.m. On Thursday from 7 to 8 is prayer. On Friday, also at 7 p.m. is Jam, Jesus and Me Ministry, our praise and worship experience. Sunday morning at 9, we are here for our live worship service. Family, I want you to know, if you are in the Brevard County area, please join us. 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. Amen. If you're not in the Brevard County area, you can still connect with us. Go to our website, www.ctkrm.org. While you're there, you can also see all of our services, go back into our archives and hear the word of the Lord, amen, for your life. Take notes, amen. Compare what is God saying to you, amen, and walking therein in victory and power in your anointing and strength. Get what you need from the word of God, amen. Once again, that's www.ctkrm.org. And if the word has been speaking to your life, we do ask that you would sow into the word of the Lord, amen, which is also, as you go to our website, you can see the several ways that you're able to do that as well. Amen? Amen. With all that being said, and all hearts and minds are clear, again, let us hear the word of the Lord. Excuse me. Amen. Amen. All right, come on. All right, amen. Let us please receive, none other, family, rest on your feet, and let us receive the leader of this house, none other than our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Can we bless God as he comes?
Come on, give God a praise. Give him some glory. Give him some honor for the great things that he has done, that we are praying. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that right now that you will open up our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Touch our eyes that we can see the revelation in your word. Our ears that we can attune to your instructions for our life. Our minds that we can comprehend the magnitude of the revelation that you will reveal to us this morning. Lord, I even pray greater that you would touch our hearts. We have so many things that are on our minds and in our emotions that sometimes we fail to remember that you are in control of it all. So right now, Lord, we submit to you, to your will, your way, in the name of Jesus. Do what you do the way that you decide to do it, because after all, we are here for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, I ask that you would release now greater revelation, greater articulation, greater foresight, that we can see and we can do what you're calling us. These assignments are greater than we are. Without your help, we can do nothing. So we thank you for all of this in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. We're so grateful for all that God has done and all that God is doing. Amen. Thank you so much. We're preparing to head north this next week. We will be in Charlotte this evening. Amen. And tomorrow on Watch Night or on the 31st New Year's Night, we will be in Pittsburgh ministering at Northside Church of God, Pastor Yvonne Burns. Amen. Last I checked, there's about four or five churches that will be coming together for this occasion. And I want you to know that God has given me a word for next year, or for this year, going out and into the next year. So we're excited about the opportunity that will afford us an opportunity then to stop through the D.C. area and check on our first assistant for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Convergence. Amen. That will be none other than Apostle Melanie Howard in the Temple of Praise and Worship family. So we're going to do that. Culminating then on next Friday, we will be at Well of Life, I do believe. Well of Life Kingdom Ministries in Ahoskie, North Carolina. Amen. Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen will be preaching on Friday night, and I will be preaching and bringing the word on next Sunday morning. And then we will be back here, back into our regular role. I want you to keep us in prayer as we are traveling. I know that this is a time that God gives us a few times that we have traveled during the holiday season, but it allowed us to touch bases with those that are connected to us and those that we are connected to. Amen. It allows us to put eyes on people and let people put eyes on us. We're looking forward when we get to Charlotte to see my good friend, and I call him my protege, if you will, Will Sutter. Amen. Still remember when he came to the University of Toledo, I was the director of the gospel choir, and Will came in bright-eyed, and he wanted to play, and he was struggling a little bit, to say the least, but he was playing, and all the different people were coming around, and he was doing what he knew to do, and then rehearsal started. After rehearsal started, I talked to everyone and hadn't played up to that point. And then I went ahead and went and sat down and played a song to acclimate us. And at that point, he said, "Man, I quit." I was like, "Oh, no, you don't." We're here so we can learn and we can grow. From that moment to now, amen, some 20 years or so, amen, later, 20-something years, amen. We both got a lot of gray and stuff. He is now a phenomenal musician and just different other ones. Rob and Amanda Robinson, who we met when we were pastoring in Ohio. Mother and them used to come all the way from Pittsburgh to Toledo for service Sunday morning. So those of you who say, "I can't make it because everything is this, that, and other," when you really are in love with God, you don't let distance stop you from getting to his presence. They drove from Pittsburgh, Douglas Coley Ward and Mickey, all of them would drive from Pittsburgh to Toledo for service. And we had a time, so... it was before Rob and Amanda got married. They came down here and walked in the sanctuary and instantly hit their knees and began to cry out to God and just worship. After that, they went back to Pittsburgh, and then they moved to Charlotte. And I've been watching him and listening to him. He's sown into this ministry. He is indeed a son. Amen. And I say that because if I send word to him or speak to him, he is responsive. He don't have to be sitting right here in order for him to hear a word and respond to it. They have sown into this ministry the way that they could using Cash App and other things, PayPal, going on a website and sowing into the ministry. And we're going through. I want to see him and his wife, amen, and just encourage them as they have encouraged us. So after all of that, we're going to continue north. I'm trying to see if I can sneak over to Sandusky and see Pastor Shannon Banks. We haven't seen her since mid-year, and I want to touch bases with her. But all of this travel is so that God can get greater glory out of us going forward. Amen? Because when we, his children, and those that he has set in positions of leadership, when we go to those who are following us, those that are investing in us, those that are praying for us, those that are committed to us, then we show them, you can't just come this way. We will come to you. Amen? And that right there helps to build in the relationship. It helps to pull, if you will, the organization together. So we're praying. We're asking God for your prayers. We're asking for your help, your encouragement in this time. Now, let's get into this word this morning. On Friday, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and let's just say this place was a little different than it is now, amen, because God came in here and tore the roof off, and I'm so grateful that he did so because we heard what God was saying, and even after the cameras was off, we took time and worshiped in here. I'm telling you, if all you're doing is watching us, you know, you're not getting the benefit of the atmosphere. You can get here. You need to be here because that is something that you can't replace doing a rewind. Amen? You're not going to get that just looking at this and trying to go back through the archives. There are certain things that are imparted because you are in place. And when you are in close proximity to the fire, then you will get the warmth from it. Amen? So we're asking that you would take time and dedicate and let God do what he's going to do the way that he's going to do it. Amen? Amen. Now, let's get into this word. Isaiah 48:3. Isaiah 48:3, just down to the 11th verse. It says, I have declared the former things from the beginnings. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. That suddenly I did them is going to be key to what we're looking at. Because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them, my carved images and my molded images, my molded image have commanded them. You have heard, see all this, and you will not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago your ear was not open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called a transgressor from the womb. Look at these words. For my sake I will defer my anger. And for my praises I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another? God's word is blessed in the hearing of his people and in all creation. This word here, as I was reading down through it, I began to look at it, and I began to see that there are some things that God has done. Amen. And he has done them because he has declared them from, or decreed them from the very beginning. Let me clarify certain things right now. First of all, a decree comes from an authoritative source, and that is one that has the ability to make such a statement. It is a decree that the king makes. The town crier declares what was decreed. Okay, so we, his people, then should be a declaration of what God has decreed for our lives. It is hard for us to be a declaration or declare what he has decreed for our lives when we refuse to acknowledge the decree to start with. We don't want to acknowledge it because we don't get anything from it. And it challenges our status quo, if you will. The mediocrity that we live in and that we become so accustomed to is challenged because God calls us to higher heights and greater. He calls us to deeper depths. But we don't want to do that because it takes effort. And we find ourselves at a place trying to find the easier, more efficient, quicker way to do it. Some processes you cannot rush. Amen. I know you wish you could rush it, but you can't rush this. Amen. You can't come out and say, well, I'm going to do it like this, and we're just going to push that through, and it's not going to be a problem for nobody because I see what we need to do, and that's all we're going to do. Get it done. Okay, listen. Some things you're not going to push through. Some things have to be done in a time frame that allows it to cure. There are foundations for great skyscrapers that can't be rushed. You can't pour it and then try to jump into it next week. The foundation takes time to cure, because the weight of what is going to be set upon it is awesome. It is so massive that if you don't give the concrete time to cure, then it will fail, and so does the structure that is built upon it. So we have to go through the process. The process is not something that we want to go through with. It's something that we need to go through. And therein lies the problem, is that we are trying to do all that we want, but we won't do anything that we need to do. God then begins to set us in places and send word to us so that we can understand that God's hand is in this. Thank God for Paul praying to the Lord three times. Thrice I prayed for this, that he would remove the thorn in my flesh. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Some of us refuse to serve because God won't move the thorn. I would serve if he'd just get rid of that. But once that takes care of itself, I'll be free to serve. Listen, you have to serve despite the thorn. Oh, you got to go through regardless of what's happening in your body. God didn't call you to Comfortville, amen, but he did call you to accountability. He called you to productivity. And you have to get out here and do what God has called you to do so that you can hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful. That word faithful means that even when you didn't feel like doing it, you still did it without any type of break, without any type of excuse. You still did it. My good and faithful servant. So it is then when we begin to look here at this passage of scripture, and I won't be able to get into all of this. We began here at this third verse, and we began to deal with the declaration of former things. Amen. God has declared things from the very beginning, ancient things. Amen. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Amen. And I would do all my pleasure. There are things that you have to understand God does because it's his pleasure to do it. We get mad when we come to a realization that what you plan and what God plans is two different things, and you try to barter with him and try to get him to see your way and bargain with you. But after all is said and done, I serve a God who's sovereign. Amen. God is sovereign. He will do his pleasure. He will do it his way. And he don't have to wait on your approval. He doesn't have to explain the outcome to you because that's not part of his sovereign role. He didn't ask you how high the mountain should be. He put the mountain in its place. He didn't ask you how wide the oceans and the seas should be. He set the shores. And he said, here no further. He did those things without any of your counsel because his counsel it stands. Amen. Let us make man in our image and likeness. So when God begins to look at things, he looks at it with a totally different level of data and intellect and information that you couldn't even fathom. He knows why he does certain things at certain times. And that's why he declares the end at the beginning. Because after all is said and done, you may not see it the way that God sees it. Conversations you would have with different individuals will say, I didn't see it like that, and I would have did it this way if it hadn't been me. But then you have to go back and say, did you have this piece of information that would have allowed you to make a competent decision? Because if you didn't have that, then what we have is people making opinionated decisions. The problem with that is that your opinion can and will change. Okay? So when you made a decision based on your opinion, and then your opinion changes, your decision should have changed too. But what happens is pride steps in. So now we don't want to deal with what our pride is trying to defend. And, yeah, we changed it, but, you know, that right there, we're going to leave right in place. Well, if it was made off an opinionated data, then that means that the decision is wrong. We got to change the decision to fit the current knowledge. I'm so happy that certain things don't change. One and one is still going to equal up to two. Amen. Two and two plus two will still equal up to four. I know some of y'all, when you did your math test, you put different answers down, and you tried to even count on your fingers and didn't understand how you still came out with 7 and 5 and other numbers like that. But guess what? The math still works because truth will always be true. It doesn't become true because of your perception. There is a such entity called perceptional truth, wherein how you see it is how you believe it, and you won't be swayed or persuaded from it until something changes your perspective on what you saw. And then we'll hear words where like, well, I saw it like this, I mean, I didn't see it like this because when I looked, I saw this. You see that? See, so what we're doing is we're trying to justify our perceptional truth. Now, some of you right now are dug into things that you perceive the wrong way. And even when God shifted your vision, shifted your view, and you saw it for what it was, your pride still kept you in the same place because you have to defend your decision. So I'm just going to tell you this morning before we go into 2020 that God gives you the ability to change your perspective and your placement. Amen. God will give you the ability. See, listen, first of all, if the gospel doesn't work, amen, then we need to shut down every church. And the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Why is it good news? Because the sinful life that you live, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, you don't have to keep living like that. You can change. I know change is a bad word for certain people because you get in a rut of what it was and how it's always been, and you're not looking at what God can do on your today and how he can build you up today and how he can take you to a new place today. You're basing your decisions for your tomorrow on old data from yesterday. Data when you did not have him as your Lord and Savior, when your prayer life and your spiritual disciplines were not built up, amen. Now, here you are, you're praying and you're interceding, you're reading your Bible, you're going to class and you're learning things, amen. But now you're still trying to hold on to what was because your decisions for your future was made back then. I'm encouraging you now to reevaluate your past, amen. And I said this before, and I'll say it again right now. We are not just coming to the end of a year. We're coming to the end of a decade, amen? And if you don't understand the power of a decade, when we look at the roaring 20s, amen, and we look at some of these other 10 years, amen, this was the decade of love, amen, and everything, flower power and all this other stuff. When we look at all of that, 10 years defines a mindset. There's some people for these 10 years who've had a mindset of defying God. So now he has to get you to a place where you're ready for a reset so that he can come in and do what he needs to do so that the glory that he has commanded from your life can manifest. Why is that important? Because the glory that he has commanded from your life also brings with it the blessings that you've been seeking, trying to get it your own way. If you are obedient to God, then God will give you the desires of your heart. You seek him. Mm-hmm. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't say, but seek ye first. Let me sow a seed so I can sow into getting this right here because I'm trying to do something for me. You know, I'm going to look better this next year. Okay, all that stuff right there you're trying to do is trying to manipulate God, and it doesn't work, amen? You can give the money, amen, because you're supposed to sow into the kingdom of God. That's right. The manipulation part is the wrong part. Lord, I'm sowing into the kingdom of God so that you can do what you will, your pleasure, your way. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you've given me an opportunity to be used by you as one who can sow into this. That's your part. And God turns around and says, because you have done so, I will do this for you. Because he knows that when he can trust you, he doesn't have to put a restriction on how he can bless you. So when we begin to look in here, we begin to see these words. I have declared, Isaiah 48:3. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them. I caused them to hear. Well, let's keep reading. Because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them. And let me just take this right here apart a little bit. Because one of the things that we have done, we have gone and we have networked. We have gone and we have talked to people. We have gone to the right school. We have gone to the networking party. We have built up relationships with people that we think may be able to help us in certain areas up and down the road. We have partnered with and set collaborations with those that we feel can benefit us in the long run because of our plans. Those are things that we have poured resources, time and energy into. Instead of praying to God for what he wants, we poured our time and energy into it. It became an idol because you put it before God. My idol has done them. My networking, all the schooling and everything else that I have done have got me to the place where I did this. And God said, I'm not going to give you the pleasure of a I did it. He said, because that's not going to give me what I'm after. And my molded, my carved image, my molded image have commanded them. I have come to the end of one matriculation process. And in doing so, I noticed that they give you the tools. They allow you to research the knowledge. You come out enlarged in your capacity. But unless you apply any of that to anything, it is wasted time, effort, and energy. Yeah, somebody say amen. You can go to school, but if you don't put your time and energy into applying what you have learned, you have wasted your time in school. Amen. I know y'all don't want to talk about that because that right there says, well, you know, I went to school for this, but I couldn't find a job in my field, so I started working over here. Now, that was wasted education. Many people don't understand this until well after the fact. No one asks you when you graduated in class. They ask you if you have a degree. Okay? Y'all missed what I just said. Some of you are striving in to be perfect when the people aren't going to ask you about your perfection. They're going to ask you if you have a degree. And when you say, I have a degree, they will respond to your degree quicker than they respond to your perfection. Because your degree tells them that you have gone through the steps, you have answered the question, you have done the assignments. Amen. It does not tell them you have competency in the field. This is a young lady that I can talk about right now and just mention as an example. She went to film school and everything, and I went to the same. A lot of the production and stuff that we do is the result of that degree. Well, they went to a different school, and they got their degree too. But when it came down to cameras and blocking out the shots and resolution for and frame rates and you know, all of these things that you should have learned in school, didn't understand any of that stuff. But how did you clarify the camera? How did you get that together? But when you set the camera up here, why did you put that white thing in front? And what was that you was touching? I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Didn't you get your degree in this? See, there are people right now reading books. There are people right now Googling different things. You can go on YouTube and Google stuff and get a whole lot of videos of people showing you how to do stuff, but you don't get the experience and the knowledge of it. Amen? And because you don't have that, when you are challenged in the area, you cannot demonstrate competency because you don't have it. When you can't demonstrate competency in the things of God, when you haven't put the time and energy into having the experience that brings you the competency, how can you have faith when you never had to use your faith? You read about faith, but you never had to walk faith. You came from affluence. You always had the friends. You learned how to talk to people. People turn around and do stuff for you. So you never had to really go through a faith walk. You see that? But you know what faith is because you read about it. Mm-hmm. You put your time and your energy into your idols, making sure that when you had a question that those people who always gave you the answers could continue to give you the answers. Amen? So now you don't know any of this. You just have competency or less lack of competency issues. You see it? Never took time. Never took time to develop fasting. Never took time for prayer. Now you need to ask God some things, and you can tell us how to cook and who. Some of you are so funny, too. Let me just say it like this. Because you have sworn off meat and you are vegetarians and everything else, and you are doing all the wonderful stuff, but if we tell you to put down your plate, you can't discipline yourself for that. Let your doctor tell you you got a test to take and you have to fast for 24 hours, and you will go on the fast and go to the doctor. Look at this. They'll be late getting you in to take the test. They'll be late getting you out to take the test. And you'll stand around and talk about it the whole time. But let the pastor call a half-day fast. We're going to start at midnight, and we're going to eat at 3. And at that time, you'll be able to eat anything but what walked. Okay? And now you can't make it. You calling and you asking, is it okay if I eat this? Or I got a headache and I just want to. Did you call your doctor and ask your doctor if you could? You didn't do anything because the doctor told you you had to test. See, we have carved out idols. We have molded images. But we can't hear from God because we won't discipline ourselves. So God then goes back to things that he has already said. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you. That means that God said it from the beginning. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you to tell you this is the end. No matter what you try to do, your idols can't help you. And no, they did not tell you of this. Is that what it says here? You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare? I have made you to hear new things from this time. In other words, God said, I didn't stop speaking. Those of you right now who are having trouble with the fact that there are still prophets out there, I think the canon scripture is closed. We have deist mentality in Christian congregation, which is God left it to us, so we just got to do the best with it that we can. We are not Christian. We're deist in our thinking. Well, I want you to know I'm Christian in my thinking because I know that God is here. He's imminent. He comes in and he deals with the current situation. And the reason why this is important, because if God couldn't deal with the situation because he is transcendent and he's stuck there, then there's no reason to pray to him because he can't influence the outcome no how. Why haven't you prayed about it? Why haven't you talked about it? Because in your mindset, you are deist in thinking. You said, in God we trust. But when you talk about God, you talk about yourself and your ability. You don't really talk about Jehovah or Yahweh. You have no mention of Jesus Christ because you want to believe that you are the Son of God. Amen. You want to see yourself in such a way that it don't matter what anybody else say. I will do my own pleasure, my own will. Well, God did not do that. What he did was he kept sending proof to you that it was he who spoke it. He said it, he meant it, and he's going to continue to speak. I have made you hear new things even from this time. Even hidden things, you did not know them. You can't come up now and say, well, I knew all of this because, you know, I went to school and they showed me and I, you know. I say, of course I knew them. They are created now and not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them. Lest you should say, of course I knew them. And let me just tell somebody something right now. God hid you in Midian, okay? God hid you in Adullam. Yeah, he spoke to you and concerning you from the very beginning, but the time was not then. God hid you because it was not time for you to step forward onto the stage. But I want you to know that God is bringing some of you forward. Right now, where you've been hidden from view, God has been speaking to you. God is bringing you to the forefront. And all that you have learned in lesson, all that you have learned the mechanics of while you was in Adullam, while you was in Midian, now you're about to bring to the forefront to deliver God's people and to lead them. You couldn't have did it before this. You weren't ready. Can I just show you this? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I see it. There was a journey from Egypt to Midian for Moses. All right? Can I remind you that there was a journey from Midian back to Egypt? Because once you get the word, you still have to go through the transition to where it applies. The bush, the burning bush, was in Midian. Okay? But his staff was thrown down in Egypt. Y'all going to catch what I'm saying here. Because some of you right now are mad because he talked to you and you trying to get the Midianites to see you as God spoke to you. But your assignment is not in Midian. Your assignment is to go back to Egypt. And it takes a transition to get there. You're going to have to go through something. Just like you got to Midian through a transition, you're going to have to transition back to Egypt. And there, your staff will work. somebody going to catch all of this. You trying to be grand and wonderful around Midianites. Yeah, that's where you got the word, but that's not where it applies. David had the oil poured upon his head while he's at Jesse's house. Okay? But he went through the cave of Adullam, and while he was dealing with battles and things and far away from there, that's where Saul was killed. And that's when they came and got him and brought him all the way back so that he could become the king over them. Do y'all see what I'm trying to show you? It was a journey to your wilderness. It'll be a journey back to your assignment. He said, I have made you hear new things, even from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. Seventh verse, they are created now and not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. God hid you, God placed you in a place where you could not be reached. Amen. Nobody from Egypt that was being oppressed by the none of the Hebrews could get to Moses to tell him what was going on. People was telling David what was going on, but he was stuck on the Philistine side. Remember? They was going to battle, and David said, I'll go to the battle with you even. And as he came out to go, the other king said, wait a minute, hold on, they might turn on us. They can't go out to battle with this. Yeah. Some of you have been positioned with the enemy even. But God knows when he's going to bring you back to the forefront and place you in the limelight. Amen. A first, surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago your ears, excuse me, your ears were not open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously. And I told you all before. I told you all before this. God didn't release the resource to you because he knew you weren't ready for it. Okay? You were saved long enough to try to get what you was trying to get. And God knew that if he had given it to you of half of your dedication, then he would never get you fully sold out to him. So he did not give it to you. I know you're mad because you've been waiting on it to show up and pop up and do because God promised it. God's promise is still good. God's waiting on you to fulfill your part of the obligation. Amen? Okay? The degree is still good. You still got to do the assignments. Amen? You still got to turn them in. You still got to do your part. Don't tell them your degree was no good because I came here and paid my tuition. They said, did you do any assignment? No, because I paid for it already. No. This was an agreement. You pay for your tuition. You pay for your books and your class. And as you do your assignment and we see you have competency, then we will give you your degree. But didn't I already pay for it? Yes, paid for. But can I help you? If you don't do it right, you can pay for it again. God won't give you things before time, because he knows that we become lazy. It does not help you to say, Lord, I go all the way. And then God shows you how much further it is, and you get tired saying, I didn't know it was all this. The Lord said, but you said you was going to go all the way. Yeah, but, you know, y'all forgot that the tribe of Reuben and Manasseh, half of Manasseh and Ephraim, they all stayed over on the other side, right? And they became those that built up the alternative worship site and never worshiped God. Some of you right now, if God caved into your bartering and your bartering, your bargaining, would never serve God. You never serve him for real because you will always think that there's an alternative to your obedience. He said you were a transgressor from the womb. But he said, for my name's sake, I will defer my anger. In other words, God is not happy that you won't do what he's already declared from the beginning. God is not happy that you keep putting off and trying to come up with excuse and reason, if you will, for why you won't be obedient to him. His anger is kindled. But even while his anger is kindled, his grace and his mercy exist. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praises, I will restrain it from you. God said, I'm going to keep letting you praise me. I'm going to keep letting you do your praise breaks and your shouts and your run around the church. I want you to do all of that because those are my praises and they belong to me too. But don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. I'm not winking at your disobedience and your failure to produce. So I'm not going to cut you off because my word is out there. Behold, I have refined you. Everybody say refined. So I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So everything that I've gone through, everything that I'm dealing with, then it's not for my destruction. It is a test. It is a test. It is a test so that God can get me to the place where I'm tested, I'm tried, and now I'm true. So that when he releases to me those things that he has declared from the beginning, I won't misappropriate it. I won't squander it. I won't lose it. I'll obtain it, but I won't be able to maintain it. God then tests us in the furnace of affliction, because the way to find out what's really inside of you is to put some hard pressure on you. Amen? If he puts the hard pressure on you and you make it through, you know now you have strength that you never knew you had until you went through what you went through. Amen? He says, for my own name's sake, for my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. Notice how it ties back in with the beginning. I will do it. After all this that he's spoken of, how you did this and that and other, how you built your idols and you molded all of them, all of this that's said and done, I still made up in my mind that because of my sake, for my own sake, there's some things that you have now and that God is going to do for you that have nothing to do with your goodness. Yeah. He's doing it for his sake, so that his name won't be profaned. Who's going to profane his name? All those people that listen to you get that grand and wonderful testimony that you'll never live up to the caveat of. God told you to do this with that testimony. And with what he calls you, you know, God gives you a prophecy and you're shouting around the church, shouting on everybody's shoes, hit people in the head, knocked off wigs and everything else. And now here comes time for you to do the caveat, and you won't do it. And so that God's name is profane, you'll watch other people have blessings that you should have had, because God will still bring it to pass. Look at this. And I will not give my glory to another. He's not going to give the glory of your failure to the enemy. He will do it to make sure that it is his glory that he receives. I want you to know that this year we are leaving out of 2019. But we're not just leaving out the year, we're leaving out the decade. Go back and look at what God has declared from the beginning for your life and see how you measure up. If there's some places where you have to ask God to forgive you, ask him for forgiveness. But rest assured, God is still going to get the glory out of all of this. Y'all pray for us as we travel, as we go into the new year. I'm confident that God is about to do some great things, and we're excited about it. Amen? I love you with the love of Christ. Come on, Prophet, let's take us home.
We praise his name this morning and thank God for the great things and the word that has been spoken on this morning. Family, just make sure for this year end that you find yourself in the house of God. Amen. If you're able to find yourself in a place of prayer, don't let 12 o'clock hit and you haven't even given God your first fruit of a thanksgiving, some gratitude, a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Something, even when before salvation, amen, before I even knew who God was, I always was drawn to make sure that I found myself somewhere in his face. Amen. Whether it was, if I was not in the house of God at that time, I was always driven to get on my knees and pray. Amen. And just thank God for a new year, a new season, His mercy, His grace, and so on and so forth. So make sure that the year doesn't come upon you and you're still doing the same foolishness. Amen. Change. That's all I got to say. Change and mature up. Amen. We can all use that. Amen. Listen, we want to say that we love you. Continue to allow this word to shape you and challenge you. Amen. I will say, you know, God's word is always in love, even if it is not always to our liking. Amen. Because He loves us, He wants to make sure that we fulfill His purpose in our lives. Amen. And I fully believe that when you really start obeying God's voice and His way, a lot of the frustration, amen, a lot of the angst, a lot of the challenges that we claim, the hating and all that stuff that we claim is going on, a lot of that foolishness will cease, because we, instead of us thinking we're fighting people, we're really fighting God. And we don't want to bring ourselves into conclusion that that's really what's happening. So make sure, family, as you go back over whatever's happening in your life and go over 2019 and those things that you know that you need to take care of, go ahead and take care of those things. Amen. You don't have to broadcast it. We don't need to know that you repented. We don't need to know you said you. We don't need to know all of that. Just make sure you get it right within your life before you cross over to 2019. Amen. Amen. Listen, I love you. Amen. My husband loves you. Amen. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries loves you as well. As he said before, please pray for us as we go forward and continue these assignments. We're also asking, amen, and praying for you that the best that God will begin to guide you and lead you into 2020, whatever, amen, he has decided to do. Amen. The good, the bad, the ugly, and indifferent. Amen. God is still on the throne. And yet he's still in control. Amen. I want you to know that, again, real quickly, Tuesday when we come back on next week, we'll be here for our Bible study night, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute at 7 on Thursday night from 7 to 8. We will resume prayer once again Friday at 7 p.m. for Jesus and Me Ministry, which is our praise and worship experience. And Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we are here for our live worship service. And all roads, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. We also ask, family, please, if the word of the Lord has been blessing your life, go to our website and sow into the word of God, www.ctkrm.org. Amen. With all hearts and minds are clear, we want you to know that we love you. God bless you. And we'll see you again real soon. Be blessed in His name, and Happy New Year to each and every one of you.